86-year-old Joel Gray is a New York treasure, an American treasure. Right now, he's got one of the hottest shows in town. It's in Yiddish, and you can't get a ticket. Wait until you hear Joel Gray's story, what Joel Gray is doing, and he's well in his 80s. He's like a 30-year-old. You can meet Mr. Gray on our podcast on the OG Podcast Network. Come join us. You're going to be happy you did. I'm Joan Hamburg, and you are now officially listening to our original podcast called Let Me Tell You. Joel Gray, a Broadway legend, is our guest. You know, when you think about aging and you think about the things that people do, you know, if you had said, I know a guy who's 80-something years old who's got one of the biggest hits in town, theater, you would say, an 80-year-old, the biggest hit in town? Are you sure? It's a different world. You remember when we would see ads for the Schmucka jelly jars and they would be celebrating someone's 100th birthday and they could barely find enough people? Now, we've got a grocery store full of people celebrating 100, 105. So there's definitely something to aging. And a lot of the secrets are being busy. Now, we all can't be Joel Gray. We can't sing. We can't dance. We can't act. We cannot bring Fiddler on the Roof to the theater world in New York City in Yiddish, get rave reviews, get a big hit, pack the house every single night when half the audience isn't Jewish at all and ends up crying their eyes out from the magnificence of this show. So Mr. Gray is part of our podcast today. He's an amazing man. And just like his Fiddler started as a secret, I'm going to give you some secret places to eat. We've got a whole new slew of restaurants opening up in New York City. They always do for the season. And we'll share some of those with you. But what I want to tell you today, if you're in the area or you're coming to the city, we have a lot of international centers. We have the center from Austria. We have the German Institute. We have the Japan Society, the French Institute. And what a lot of people don't know is if you really want to learn to speak French, or you want to learn to tango dance, or eat in one of the restaurants that these international centers have, I'm going to start by giving you a couple of our favorites. Scandinavian House at 58 Park Avenue, they have a restaurant called Smorgas Chef. And I'll give you the number because you can walk in, but you really do better with a reservation. 212-686-4230. And not only do they have interesting exhibits and films and concerts and things for kids that you'll really enjoy, they've got a lot of home decor too, but their restaurant is there serving what they call new Nordic cuisine. Nordic, it's called Smorgas Chef. I mentioned that to you. They have their own 150-acre farm in the Catskills. So everything is fresh and wonderful. Try the tasting plate. Gravlax, wonderful potatoes, Swedish meatballs, herring, apple beet salad, cucumbers, $22. Or if you are a meaty person, their meatballs are really good. A heritage pork, grass-fed beef, served with yummy sides or an open-faced sandwich. This is a place worth going to. And they have talks. So I wanted to mention this just because we get a big kick out of it. And they're not screaming, noisy New York restaurants. Now, a restaurant that I used to go to, closed and opened, all redone. It's called La Nationale. It's part of the Spanish Benevolence Society. This is the oldest Spanish cultural center in the country. They have a long history. They have long provided the Spanish community with food, information about healthcare, places to stay, and then it became a cultural hub. So the restaurant has authentic Spanish food with four chefs from the top culinary institutes and restaurants in Spain. And the restaurant, A Nacional, opened for dinner Tuesday through Saturday. Lunch, not quite yet, but soon. And guess what? Thursday night, they have tango lessons, only $15, and followed by dancing until 2 in the morning. This is fabulous. And you never know whom you're going to meet doing this. On Thursdays, they have beginner classes, intermediate, but it's great. And you want to learn Spanish? New York City, have Spanish, you're at a big advantage. It's probably going to outdo English shortly. But it's La Nacional on West 14th Street, 212-929-7873. Wonderful food, great opportunity. You go to these places, you never know whom you're going to meet. So enjoy and settle back, because coming up, one of my favorite people, a legitimate New York legend, Joel Grey. I am excited because a famous star, a singer, a dancer, a director, a gifted photographer, has now even become more famous, if such a thing is possible, for doing something so unlikely. I'm talking about the one and only Joel Grey, who has brought to the world of theater Fiddler on the Roof, everyone's favorite. But he did something rather extraordinary. Joel Grey has brought this fiddler to the theater world in Yiddish. And even though you say Joel Grey, but I know him as an actor from Cabaret. I know him from a million things. What happened? What happened on your way? No, really, how did this come about?
The head of the Volksbühne, Zalman Mlotek is his name, called one day and said, we have gotten the rights to a Yiddish version of Fiddler on the Roof that was done 50 years ago in Israel. Never been in the United States. And would you like to play Tevye or direct it?
No, out of the blue.
Yeah. So I said, I think I'll direct it. I had no idea what I was going to do. First of all, I don't speak Yiddish.
I was going to say, that could be a little block, but not you.
Well, I know that show. And those characters so well. I mean, I went to the first preview in Washington 50 years ago.
Oh, my gosh.
And I've loved it ever since. And I thought, yes, I'd like, this is a good challenge.
And the funny thing, well, it's not funny, but when I heard, you know, in the trades and everything, this is going to happen, we all thought, has Joel Grey lost his mind? Yiddish, he doesn't speak Yiddish. How much of the audience speaks Yiddish today? How are they going to get this? And then when it opened, I got a call. A friend said, I have never seen anything like it. I think I cried for 2.5 hours. And she said, I'm not even Jewish.
That's the plus, is that so many non-Jewish people have come and found themselves in
so
this play,
up
in these characters, in this situation. And Yiddish didn't mean a thing. And it meant everything.
Right.
You know, because it was the mother language. The mother tongue. Mama Lushin.
Mm. That's right. Wasn't that the name? Mandy Patinkin.
Right.
Had talked about that. I'm talking to Joel Grey, who has brought Fiddler on the Roof as the director in Yiddish to the Museum of Jewish Heritage. And that's right on Battery Place. to huge raves. I mean, one of the biggest hits this season. Now, when you were casting, did the cast speak Yiddish?
They had to learn whatever the audition was for the role. They had to learn it in Yiddish.
That's hard. It's like an opera singer.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And there were 2,000 people wanted to audition. That was such a surprise. And some people were better at it than others.
Yeah.
But all these non-Jews and non-speaking Yiddish Jews.
Right out there.
All practiced and came in and sang, and it was amazing. And we got the most beautiful cast.
Did you feel, I mean, Fiddler's no surprise, and we know the universal impact it has on everyone's heart, but were you surprised at the emotional impact it had in New York? I mean, we thought, all right, he's going to do this. There'll be an audience, of course, because that group, Folk Bean, has its own audience
right.
that goes to Yiddish theater. But what about the rest of the world? So when that review came out and people were like, I can't believe what I experienced.
Yeah.
It had to be shocking.
People are surprised.
You too?
No. No, because I really had wonderful, talented people and a great design team. And we were all, no one was being paid much money. You know,
it was
a labor of love. And we all were committed to telling the story.
Was it hard to direct it because it was in Yiddish? Did you have to go a different way?
Yes, I did. I directed it first in English. Every scene.
Aha. Uh-huh.
And then once they knew
the whole,
the center of the scene and the meaning of the play, then we added on the Yiddish.
Unreal. Joel Grey, our guest, directing a major production that they're all talking about is going to go to Broadway. Well, we'll keep our fingers crossed, but you don't have to go to Broadway to see it. You can see it right now at the Museum of Jewish Heritage. I can't say you. It's the toughest ticket in town at 36 Battery Place. And it's Fiddler on the Roof, but as you've never heard it before. So you had said to me once a while ago, I don't remember what you were doing, one of your 90,000 things before breakfast, that you were going to sort of wean yourself away a little bit from acting and do other things.
Yes.
This is another thing.
Excuse me. Yes. I'm not that interested in acting anymore.
What happened to you?
I think I played a lot of roles. Varied. Varied and interesting. And, you know, I don't think you have to do the same thing for your whole life.
Mm-mm.
And I had directed The Normal Heart.
I remember that.
With George Wolfe on Broadway. And I directed a play a couple of years ago in New Jersey, the Two River Theater.
Yeah, which is a good theater.
Which is great. And so, I mean, directing was always in the back of mm-hmm. my mind. And I love actors. And I got...
Well, you're an actor, too.
I got such great people. And I, you know, just fell in love and was so grateful to find a Tevye who's unlike any Tevye you've ever seen.
Tell me what that means.
He's a leading man. You can really believe he's the father of five daughters with a wife, and he's had sex to make those daughters in those years in Anatevka. You know, it's more
got a lot
vibrant.
Mm-hmm.
And he's a great actor. His name is Stephen Skibell. And you've got to see him.
You found him?
He auditioned.
Just like that. You didn't tell an agent, go get me this guy.
No, I didn't know that. I had no idea that he spoke Yiddish.
And he spoke Yiddish?
Perfectly.
You're kidding.
Yes.
Do we know him?
Yes, he's been in a lot of plays. Mm-hmm. He's like one of those great actors that everybody sees.
Yeah, but always
has
works.
Has not happened his own moment, and he is
and
now.
And here it is, right? Amazing. When he came on that audition stage and that Yiddish came out of him, you must have been, where's this guy been?
Yeah. And I was so grateful because I knew we wanted to tell the story in a more realistic way, not in a buffoonish...
Right, or the caricature.
Right, caricature.
Mm-hmm.
And he's... Well, when are you coming?
Soon. I cannot wait to see this.
But you can't get tickets.
I know. I'll have to use pull.
Yes. You know somebody.
I'll have to call someone that I know. I'm talking to Joel Gray. Now, a lot of you may not know that Mr. Gray is also a superb photographer.
Oh, thank you.
Well, you are.
I thought you were going to say... Mr. Gray is the son of Mickey Katz.
A famous actor.
A famous comedian. Yiddish comedian. But I still never learned Yiddish.
Well, because you were an American.
And I was also, I didn't want to ever do anything musical originally. I just wanted to be an actor.
What kind of childhood was that? Your mom was not... A comedian, just the opposite. I wanted to cheer you up this morning. But growing up with your daddy, who in his time was really famous, and everyone knew him.
And funny. And beautiful.
Funny with you, too.
And a beautiful man. I mean, a very full of heart and commitment.
So when you told them that you were not going to be...
A musician,
a doctor, a lawyer, an accountant...
Or a singer.
Right. You were going to act.
Yes. And that was when I was 9.
So what happened?
What?
What was the first thing that happened that you knew it was all possible?
Oh, the first part I ever played... was in a play called On Borrowed Time. And it was a great role, and it was a big hit on Broadway at the same time in the 40s. And the minute I started rehearsal, I was the only kid in the show, I thought, this is heaven. They're listening to me.
Right.
They're respecting me. If I know my words... and I behave in a professional way, I'm an equal. And all of a sudden, that was a new world for me. I wasn't a kid anymore.
Right. That's really interesting. And
did you read my book?
Of course I read your book.
Yes.
And I've read your book. I've looked at your photography books. I actually sprang and bought one. Oh, my gosh.
Oh, my gosh. No wonder I'm here.
That's why I gave it to my husband, who gave up his law career to become a photographer. We thought he was out of his mind. He probably was. I'm talking to Joel Gray. So your
father... Who's not out of his mind.
Not out of his mind.
Not at this moment, anyway.
No. Praise the Lord. But your daughter has made your father, if he could see it, and I'm sure he does, a very happy man because she had the singing genes, the whole bit.
She's a dancer, essentially.
And a great dancer.
A great dancer. And
Jennifer Gray,
and one of the young actors in our play came and said, I was totally in love with Dirty Dancing and your daughter. And he's a kid.
Oh, gosh. That's so funny. But I remember when she was on Dancing with the Stars and she had an injury.
Right.
Only your kid would have toughed. I thought,
oh, my God.
She's right. Joel's daughter. I mean, who's going to do that?
I know. I was stunned. And
she had a terrible injury that no one could dance through. And she
was great.
Did.
And she won.
She won.
Yeah.
It was extraordinary.
She's a wonderful girl.
She
has a 16-year-old daughter.
I know.
And
I can't
her husband
it.
Is a wonderful actor by the name of Clark Gregg. And
did you know him before?
Before she met,
no.
Married him?
Yeah.
No.
I know. It's almost all unreal. So now that a huge success, people are saying, give this guy the Tony.
Oh, wasn't that hilarious?
I love
that. You can't
that.
Get the Tony for Off-Broadway.
I know. Well, they got to change that.
I like that idea.
I would like it, too.
Excuse me. I'll take it.
They have special categories. They have to have an Off-Broadway category. Because why not? You know, when I was a kid, thinking I was going to be an actor, Off-Broadway was really Off-Broadway. You were in the basement of a church, which didn't even have heat. And you would make your relatives come. And when they stopped coming, the shows would close. Because who was going to go, right?
Right.
And we've seen the whole world change. So now, with all these credits, and this has to be like the icing on the cake, even with major roles like in Cabaret, to direct something unlikely that is the talk of the town.
I'm very grateful.
Well, you're very good, and that's what happens. But is there any unfulfilled fantasy in that fertile brain? Is there anything you haven't done that you would like to do?
I'll tell you tomorrow.
Okay.
If I get an idea.
Okay. But
there's nothing. My focus is so complete.
That this is the moment.
That this is the moment that's in front of me. I don't know what's ahead.
Only good things. Only good things. Right? More directing, more challenges, because that's what keeps human beings going.
And interested.
Yeah, you're not going to sit on a rocker in the actor's home saying, I could have, should have.
Well.
Not yet.
Yeah, you know, those things happen, but luckily I'm full of...
Fabulous.
Full of life and excitement and gratefulness.
And we're grateful because wherever there's Joel Gray, there's something amazing to look at, to listen to hear, to see.
I'm so glad I came over today.
Well, I'm so glad
this.
You came over. You're making me feel really good. The one and only Joel Gray, if you haven't seen this Fiddler yet, you've
got
to go see
it. You can't get tickets.
I know. You have to say you know Mr. Gray. And you do. You heard him on the radio. What's
right.
better than that? And it's at 36 Battery Place at the Museum of Jewish Heritage.
Do you know that area at all? It's
very
so
well.
Beautiful. The park is probably the most beautiful part of a New York park that I've ever seen next to Central Park.
And you know what's interesting? A lot of people don't realize, first of all, they have restaurants there
yes.
that are really delicious. And I went to a wedding, believe it or not, there. Oh, my gosh, you look out the window.
I know, and the Statue of Liberty is
right
there.
The whole world is there.
Yeah.
Wonderful food. And that area of Manhattan, which a couple of years ago was just starting to come to life.
After 9/11.
Again, and is now booming.
It's terrific.
So this is something you have to do. 212-945-0039. Truly a tough ticket, but definitely worth it. Try to do it before it goes to Broadway. Thank you, Joel.
Thank you, Joan, always.
And we're celebrating a life-affirming show in Yiddish, Fiddler on the Roof.